Okay, so let's unpack this one today. We're diving into something. Well, it's a real balancing act for businesses, isn't it? How do you grow, maybe grow really aggressively, but not, accidentally run the company into the ground? We're talking long-term financial planning. Not as some dusty chore, but more like a tactical blueprint, for survival and maybe even dominance.
And what's really fascinating here, I think, isn't just about predicting sales numbers. It's more about setting up these clear strategic guardrails. It's really about proactively shaping the company's future value for the owners and trying to head off problems before they even really start.
Right, heading them off. And that focus on long-term value, well, leads us right into a really practical tool, something called the percentage of sales approach. And it really shows how tightly linked your sales forecast is to, well, pretty much every other dollar flowing through the business.
Exactly. You can think of it like this. Sales are the engine, right? And this percentage of sales method, it assumes that lots of parts of your financial car, your cash, your inventory, they scale up or down based on how fast that sales engine is running. It helps you project your future financial statements. The basic idea is some accounts vary directly with sales, while others, maybe like long-term debt, don't, at least not initially.
Okay, so it all kicks off with that sales forecast. That's the driver. You project your income statement, and then you use that to project the balance sheet based on that sales number you expect.
That's the core process. And the really crucial output you get from this, it's the external financing needed, or EFN. This is basically the plug figure, the gap. It's the number that tells you, okay, hold on, your plans require this much new cash from somewhere outside the company.
The gap, right. And it forces you to see that before you're already committed.
Precisely. It brings reality into focus early.
Okay, and here's something really interesting within that. This idea of capacity utilization. Like, imagine your factory isn't running full tilt. Maybe it's only at, say, 70% capacity. Well, then you could potentially boost sales by, what, over 40%?
Something like that, yeah.
Before you even need to think about spending on new machines or bigger buildings. That excess capacity is like, well, it's almost free financing, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It dramatically reduces that EFN, that need for external cash. It's a huge factor. And if you zoom out a bit, you see this this direct connection. A firm's growth rate and its need for external financing, they generally move together. Faster growth usually means a bigger EFN.
Okay, so we know how to find the gap, the EFN. But how fast can a company realistically grow without constantly needing external cash infusions? That brings us to a couple of key benchmarks, right? The internal growth rate first.
Correct. The internal growth rate is basically how fast you can grow using only the money the business generates itself. So just retained earnings, no new debt, no new equity. It's your absolute bootstrapping limit.
Your internal speed limit. Got it. And the other one.
The sustainable growth rate. This one's a bit different. It's the maximum speed you can maintain without selling more shares, more equity, but while keeping your debt equity ratio steady. So you're using internal funds, plus you're taking on new debt in proportion to your equity growth.
So it allows for some borrowing, but in a controlled way.
Exactly. And these rates, they aren't just numbers on a page. They depend on real operational levers you can pull. Things like your profit margin, how much you keep from each sale, your dividend policy, how much profit you pay out versus reinvest, your financial policy, that debt equity mix we mentioned, and also your asset turnover, how efficiently you use your assets to generate sales. They all feed into these growth rates.
Okay, this is painting a clear picture. But what does it mean practically? We've all heard those cautionary tales, right? The company that seems incredibly successful orders pouring in, and then suddenly, boom, it collapses. How does that happen?
Well, that's the paradox, isn't it? A firm absolutely can grow faster than its sustainable rate for a while, but it's risky. Very risky, because that rapid growth often creates this huge, almost insatiable need for more investment, new equipment, more inventory, more receivables.
Yeah, the working capital just gets sucked dry. It's like you're paying suppliers and staff now for products you won't get paid for until weeks or months later.
Precisely. It creates a massive cash flow drain, a working capital black hole, as you put it. And here's another twist. Sometimes, to fuel that crazy growth, a company might price its products too low.
To drive demand, yeah.
Right. But that crushes their profit margin. And a lower profit margin means less internal cash generation, less retained earnings.
Which, as we just said, lowers your sustainable growth rate.
Exactly. So the very thing they're doing to grow faster actually reduces their ability to finance that growth sustainably. It's a dangerous spiral.
So, Okay, the company's booming but bleeding cash. You'd think a bank would see the potential and step in, right? Why don't they always?
Well, put yourself in the lender's shoes. They look at the financials and they see maybe low or even negative profits, despite high sales. They see poor liquidity, cash reserves dwindling. They see growth that looks frankly chaotic and unmanaged. It screams high risk. Often the core problem isn't lack of sales, it's the inability to manage the financial consequences of those sales.
So if a company finds itself in that spiral, growing too fast for its own good, what can it actually do? Is it too late?
Hopefully not, but it needs to act decisively. First, it probably needs to consciously slow down sales growth, bring it back to a manageable, sustainable level. That might mean, perhaps counterintuitively, raising prices. Yes, it might dampen demand a bit, but it increases profit margins, generating more internal cash.
More breathing room financially.
Correct. Or the other main option is to seek external equity financing. Think venture capitalists or private equity. But that, of course, means giving up ownership.
So control versus survival. A tough choice.
It often is.
This whole deep dive really underscores that financial planning isn't just, you know, number crunching about sales. It's fundamentally about strategically managing your growth, making sure success doesn't ironically become the cause of failure.
Absolutely. Understanding that EFN, your financing gap, and knowing your internal and sustainable growth rates, these aren't just academic concepts. They are crucial guideposts for making smart decisions about funding your future.
So here's something to chew on. Just how deeply connected are a company's sales strategy, its pricing, and its fundamental financial health? It makes you think, doesn't it? It's clearly not just about making the sale. It's about ensuring you can actually finance that sale and the growth it represents, making sure you're building on solid ground, not planning for a crash landing.